I doubt it. I don't think anything's ever interesting on this show. Hello, and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 128, take 2, for Thursday, the 18th of May, 2017. This is a show where two lifelong friends and their guests celebrate all things geek. I'm Amos, that's Kent, and the one pulling chalks in the middle of the screen, that's SP, it's Stargate Pioneer. How are you doing today?
Awesome. It's great to be here. Second podcast of the day, and I just can't wait to do more.
Well, I mean,
take two of podcast two. Here we go. yeah, man, this is awesome. It's Thursday night. It's time for Ritual Misery. I'm so glad to be here. I'm thrilled to have Stargate Pioneer here. He is a known quantity of the Gun and Geek Network, and we are glad to have him here on DiamondClub.tv. What's going on, man?
So thankful to be here. Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, I'm the vice president of network development of GunnaGeek.com. I also have not one, not two, not three, not four, but five weekly podcasts, and that is three too much, but we'll get to that later.
Awesome, awesome. Amos, how you doing, man?
So a little bit of pain in my leg.
That's normal, right?
Not really. Okay. Last Friday, I was supposed to have my knee surgery. I get a call at like 7:30 in the morning and said, hey, can you come in at 9 instead of like 1:30 or whatever? And I was like, yeah, let's go ahead and get this shit done. Why? Because I can't eat since midnight, so I'm fucking starving, right? They call me up at like 8:30. We're getting ready to leave to the hospital because it's like 5 minutes down the road. We're getting ready to leave the hospital, get another phone call, say, hey, the grafts that they're supposed to put in your knee, somebody didn't storm right overnight, so we may have to toss them and reschedule. Okay, great. So I'm on standby. Just wait. About 1 o'clock rolls around. I'm starting to get pretty damn impatient. They call me again. Said, yeah, your doctor is going to give you a call and he'll tell you exactly what's going to happen when everything else. I'm like, okay, cool. Can I eat? They're like, wait until he gives you the call. So here it is at 2:30 in the afternoon or something like that, that he calls me. I haven't eaten since midnight the night before. And you know, fat kids, we got to eat.
And I was gonna say, this has to be torture for you, because even when we're on vacation, drunk as hell the night before, get 4 hours of sleep, the first thing you think about is I got to get down the street and get me some tacos.
That's, I mean, who are we kidding?
Or right? is it Wendy's?
Oh no.
Why are you bringing up old shit?
Yeah, why are you gonna bring up old shit? So he calls me up a little after two and he's like, yeah, we're gonna scratch it, we gotta go, and we're going to do it on Wednesday. They're flying a new sample in and blah, 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 blah. Good times. So then I get a phone call. The day before, on Tuesday afternoon, I get a phone call from the same nurse that called me on Thursday telling me what time the surgery is. And she calls and I was like, hello, how are you? And she's like, oh, I'm doing good. Is this Mr. Lemos? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I think we've had this conversation before. And I was like, we have. Well, sure as shit, the next morning they call me. They're like, hey, can you come in early? Like, we've played this before. Like, is this realsies this time, or is it, like, half-assies?
And, yeah, right. Because you want your 11-sies.
Right, right. I want my fourth breakfast. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Right.
But, yeah, so we get to the hospital, and my doctor is doing two surgeries that day. The one previous to mine and then mine. The one before me had complications. There's a shoulder rebuild or something like that, and they had complications. So theirs took like 6 hours. Meanwhile, that extra 4 hours I was sitting there just starving my ass off, watching previews on iTunes because I can't get enough reception to watch even YouTube. But the previews are coming through. So that's what I spent my time doing. Got the surgery, got out, and of course we didn't get home till like 10 o'clock at night by the time I woke up because sedatives do wonders for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you that's were to good. Roofie me, I wouldn't know for like 4 days because I wouldn't be awake.
Like that's me too.
I can't do it.
I think I had a Tylenol 3, like, I don't know, 15 years ago or something like that. And, I just woke up. Seriously, I was out for like a day and a half from like just a single Tylenol 3.
Yeah. People take like NyQuil and stuff like that. Can't do it. Like I cannot take any kind of sleep aid or pain depressant or anything like that. If I have somewhere to be in the next 24 hours without someone there to remind me to get up, because it's not happening.
Same. SB, what about you, man? Are you immune to the effects of
pain? Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I can't sleep sitting up. So if I ever have an international flight, and of course, nobody pops for a first class seat for the SP, right? So if I ever have an international flight, I'm taking some meds and I'm knocking myself out, because if not, I just like, do the reptilian head bob, and you become really friends with the guy next to you and you put your head on his shoulder and that sort of thing. No. Just put me out and I'll wake up when I'm on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Like B.A. Baracus.
Yeah. and it doesn't help that I actually have some anxiety on the plane. Like there's a certain level of realization in my mind that says I'm in a metal straw flying 35,000 feet above any hope of landing.
It's still the safest form of travel.
It is, but I still get nervous about it because I'm not in any kind of control in any way whatsoever. And I can't sleep on planes. I can't, because I'm too tall to let my head on the little thing, because it just like does this number here. And I'm too tall to lean forward and put like curl up on the tray. So I basically just have to suck it up and sit there. And then people are like, "Oh, well, why don't you sit next to the window? Then you got a wall. You can curl yourself." No, because something about having that little handle right there digging into my ribs while I'm trying to catch 6 hours of sleep on an 8-hour flight.
See, that's you complain too much. There's too much going on there. Me, I'm the exact opposite. I get on an airplane, it's like it might as well be a time machine, because I'm asleep before we even taxi, and then I wake up as people are getting their bags out of the overhead bin.
You wake up as people are getting their bags out of baggage claim.
That actually happened to me one time. I woke up and there was no one on the plane.
Holy crap.
So, how many of those little bottles did you buy? How many?
Oh, yeah.
Are we talking about there? My Achilles heels is the helicopter. I'm a rocket scientist. I know the Bernoulli principle that keeps those in the air, but it doesn't seem right to me. There's no wings. You've just got this thing that's going woo, 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 woo around. I'm convinced that somebody somewhere is going to run some sort of computer program somewhere and go, "Oh my gosh, we are not allowed to do this anymore. The principle, the Bernoulli principle, it's wrong. It's false. We just proved it false." And then all the helicopters in the entire world would just go, boom, and fall out of the sky, and I will happen to be on a helicopter at that particular moment.
Yeah, that would just be your luck. Man, well, that would, God.
My luck, I'd be walking along the street, and the helicopter directly above me would have that happen, land on me.
That's where my luck comes in. I'd have like two of them land on my house.
but you wouldn't be home, just like the mortars when in Afghanistan. You'd be outside smoking, and your house would get bombed.
No, the mortar incident was Iraq. Well, anyway, we won't get into that.
Yeah.
Speaking of different places around the world, though, man. So earlier this week, I had kind of a scare. I don't even remember what I was doing, but my phone starts going crazy. I'm like, what the heck's going on? I look at my phone and it says, an unknown device is attempting to log in to your Apple account, your Apple ID. I was like, that's odd. I haven't tried to activate a new device or anything lately. So I got on the computer. It said that in Hot Springs, Virginia, someone was attempting to log in to into my account on a browser on a Windows system. The last time that I tried to log in, or the last time I logged into my Apple ID on a browser, was probably, oh my God, a year and a half ago or something like that. Hmm. And I never use Windows.
You've never used the Find My iPhone thing on iCloud or anything like that?
I've used that with another device, like I'll find my phone with my iPad or something like that. It's something I never do. So I was like, okay, this is bullshit. So, you know, deny access, and then would you like to change your password? Hell yes, I would. So then I go through this process. I change my password. And then, of course, I have to change it on all of my other devices. Mm-hmm. And then I go to my phone and I activate it. And then I get a pop-up like, oh, a device is trying to access your account. I'm like, allow. Okay, fine. Go to the next device. Same thing all over again. Somebody, I guess, was trying to hack my stuff, because right before I changed my password, both my iPhone and my iPad mini went into lost mode. And I was like, nope. So I changed the password, and then I found my devices in New Mexico, of course. But every time I would log in to, like, in particular, so my Apple TV, when I logged into that, I got the pop-up again. Mm-hmm. Someone is trying to log into your account from a device in Hot Springs, Virginia. What the hell? So I changed my I ended up changing my password like four times or something that night. But for whatever reason, it's glitching. Like every time I log into an account, it says it's in Hot Springs, Virginia. And I don't know what I Googled it. Like there is no affiliation between
this is one of those
Apple
things where
in Hot Springs, Virginia.
This is one of those things where it's coming full circle because a month ago I switched over to the two-factor authentication and I was trying to explain this to you, Kent, and you're like, That doesn't seem right. And now you're going, this doesn't seem right.
Right. Yeah. So,
because for like 2 weeks, every time someone tried to access an iDevice that's on our family share plan, it, like every single time for 2 weeks straight, my wife would pick up her phone and wouldn't be able to get into it until I okayed that she was trying to get it. I was like, you got to be kidding me right now. It was the worst 2 weeks as far as Apple goes ever. So
yes.
Yeah. Are you a Windows guy or Apple guy?
Yeah, I'm glad those things are there, but wow, was that an annoying 2 days.
SP, are you a Windows guy or an Apple guy?
I'm a Windows guy, but I use iOS devices around the house, mostly because of the family. My sister, she's 10 years younger, and she's mentally handicapped. She's got an IQ that's less than 20. She can use her iPad. We got her an iPad a few years ago. We need to do another one to update her. But she can actually use it, and she can... I get calls 2 a.m., and it's my sister who doesn't sleep very much, and she's just like, how's it going, SP? I'm like, okay, party time. And I will answer every single time she calls.
Right.
Every single time. So, yep. I'm on the iOS on mobile and Windows 10, which has been... let's say less than stellar since it came out.
Really?
And that's the devices I use.
See, once again, I am in this world where I prefer Apple on everything, but my beast, the streaming computer I have right here that I'm using, that I built for this purpose, is running Windows because I didn't have enough time to get the Hackintosh part going. But that forced me to use Windows 10, and I have had nothing but success with Windows 10 on this machine. And
yeah, both my sons use
me and
Windows
one other 10. Dude have that, and I don't know why it's just us that have this perfect experience in Windows 10.
Yeah, but both of my sons use Windows 10, and
never a problem,
no issues.
See,
yeah, no issues.
It's just like Windows 7 and Windows XP. Like, you may not have any problems at all, or it's complete crap. There's no middle ground. Either it's not working for you, or it's perfect.
Well, if you're using Windows XP now, you're gonna want to cry. That's for sure.
Hey guys, actually, Microsoft just patched that actually for Windows XP.
Yeah,
they did in the enterprise version. I want to back up to the passwords just really quick. Have you guys talked about LastPass at all?
We haven't. Which one do I use? I use LastPass. Yep.
Yeah. So LastPass or some sort of password storage. You can rotate the password. So if you come up with an issue like you just had and you continually having to log into a device and changing passwords, you could just have it generate a new password and bingo, you can use it on your device. So it's really easy, especially if you're getting hacked, to make even a stronger password. I just wanted to point that out to those security conscious listeners that you guys have.
You know, they just came out not too long ago and somebody was saying that instead of making them uppercase, lowercase, number, a symbol and 42 characters long, just make it really long. It can be anything you want. Just make it really long because you get the same effect and it's easier to remember, so you're not changing your passwords often, which means you're not as likely to use the same password over and over again. But yeah, I use LastPass. And my favorite thing about LastPass is if it's a website that it knows, like it knows Amazon and it knows Netflix and everything else, you don't have to go into Netflix to change your password. You tell LastPass, hey, change this password. It makes a new one, saves the new one in LastPass, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. And it makes it completely random. Well, I mean, of course, RNGs, but, you know, it makes it random. So that, just that alone is amazing to me, that it can log into the site, change the password for it, and save that password, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. All my passwords are RMP is cool, RMP is cool, RMP is cool, RMP is cool. That's all it is. RMP is cool.
But it's got to be 42 times.
Really good password. No, that's really good advice, though. And yeah, I want to encourage everyone. Strong passwords. Use a password manager if you want to, if that works for you. But definitely make strong passwords. Make long passwords. And enable two-factor authentication on everything.
Another point of record. Anytime Ken says if that works for you, it means he's not going to do it.
You're on to me.
I figured it was the RMP drinking game.
Yeah, that's a know what I mean. Anytime I say you know what I mean, you got to take a shot. That's what that is.
Wow. Now, so, SP, I got to ask you. You said that you were in the iOS realm for mobile devices. Have you gotten into the wearable?
No, unfortunately, I can't wear anything on my wrists. I can't wear, it's nerve damage. I can't wear any watches or whatever. But my family, I got my wife a Apple Watch last, like a year and a half ago for Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the Apple Watch 2 is out. We just had Mother's Day and I was having a real hard time trying to get her. So she needed a new iron. So I got her a new iron. It's like a digital computerized iron. She loves it, but it was an iron, right?
Is it Bluetooth? Like can you see it through your phone? Things?
Is it connected?
It might be. I wasn't there with the setup, so we'll see. But I also was like, you know, the Apple Watch 2 is out. It's waterproof. It's got GPS. I'll do that. So, yes, Mother's Day, I gave her Apple Watch 2 and then began the setup hell. Let me tell you. There are no instructions that come with the Apple Watch. I had to Google. I think it was Mac 9 to 5 that gave the most relevant instructions on how to do it, but those were even wrong because I wasn't just setting up a new Apple Watch. I was replacing an Apple Watch. Mm. And I discovered, by the way, that you can have two, at least two, I don't know, maybe more. You can have two associated with your same mobile device. So that's pretty cool, right? Well, in order to do all of this, everything has to be up to date. And you think my wife would keep her iOS up to date?
Guess not.
No. And it was the big 10.3 iOS, so it took like 45 minutes to update that. And then the iOS on the watch needed to be updated. And that's just to back up the watch, because you have to back up the watch in order to transfer it to the new watch. So all this, it literally took 2.5 days to give my wife a new present of an Apple Watch. I love the Apple devices. They're very simple, like I said before, but setting up the Apple Watch was ridiculously hard. Mm. I miss Steve Jobs.
Man, we all do.
Yeah, setting up a new watch, however, like if Kent were to get a watch, it's only like a 5-minute process. Like you point the camera at the watch screen. It has this little wiggly thing going on, and bloop, 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 beep, bop, boop, and it's done. And then you got a watch, got your watch. Now you got to go through and turn all your notifications off because they're all on by default. But setting up a new watch is easy peasy. Forgetting a watch and getting a new one, totally different story. Holy crap. It's insane. Yeah. Once it gets set up, it's fine. But the actual, it's junk.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're only on, the second gen now, right? So this is just now becoming a thing. So I got to think with third generation, they're going to have this fixed. I actually heard that at the upcoming, what is it, June?
WWDC.
They're going to be announcing OS 3, Watch OS 3.
Yeah, well, it's already on Watch OS 3. It'd be a Watch OS 4 at this point.
Or is that what it is? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm not a watch wearer, so I don't know.
I'm not either.
except for the Apple Watch.
To complicate matters further, my daughter received the old Apple Watch. Mm. So I had to go through the whole process of putting the Apple Watch on her phone, which guess what? Was not updated to the latest iOS. So this saga keeps going on. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Right. Oh,
man. I have finally drilled into my family enough that every time there's an update available, they update immediately. Like, oh, it's available. I got to get off the phone. I got to update my phone. Like, I finally drilled that into my family's head. So
I don't blame my wife too much because she was in the iOS architecture way back when you did an update and you didn't back it up, you could have bricked your phone. So she had that happen a couple of times. So she's usually very conscious of waiting until she can back up her phone, which again takes up a couple of hours to back it up to her laptop. And then she runs the iOS. But in this particular case, I learned that while taking a long time, the 10.3 iOS on the iPhones is a pretty bug-free process. So I was okay actually going ahead and doing it without backing up the phone.
Yeah, I remember the good old days when it used to be prudent to wait to update your devices or like even your desktop OS, because you want the early adopters to figure out the bugs, mm-hmm. and then, you know, once they patch it, and then that's when you install. But these days, like almost every time there's an update, it's full of security patches because of all of the, you know, mass hack attacks and malware or ransomware and all of that kind of crap that's going on.
Yeah, remember when a 0 day was Quek, and now it's like negative 2 day, you know? Like,
yeah. Oh man,
like they haven't even released it yet, and people are already infected. It's ridiculous now. It's not happy, not good.
Yeah. Thanks, NSA.
Just as a side note, I learned that, what is it, Jaguar and Mercedes or something like that are putting Android OS systems in their cars. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, yeah. This is not going to end perfectly, guys. I could the Skynet is here, and it's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
I actually want to install the what is Apple's version? Car OS
or something.
Yeah, I actually want that. For my car.
But see, here's the thing. The car OS is not trying to control your car or monitor your car itself. It's simply the entertainment and the navigation. Whereas what they're doing with Android is they're actually like tapping into it's like an on-screen OBD2 port where it's actually tapping into the system and you know, like, no, I don't want to. I miss the cars that were all mechanical, that if the only thing electrical on the damn thing was a battery. You know, I miss those cars. Why? Because they ran and they ran and they kept running.
Yeah, and you got 7 miles per gallon, and
upon collision.
Yeah, I mean, it's not much worse than what I'm getting now.
Well, that's true. I was just thinking about, as I was saying that, I was thinking back to what was it, 3 episodes ago or something?
Yeah, you were 13.5 miles per gallon. Mileage. Yeah, it's
awesome. What do you got? A 6.3 liter diesel in that thing?
It's a 6.2 liter V8 Hemi, or 6.4. Shit, one of those two. It's the big Hemi, and I get a Power Wagon, so
it's a beast engine.
Yeah.
Well, at least you have when Skynet hits. At least you have a mobile command post that you can take on your.
You know, here's something that happened last weekend. They're out in front of our. Did I tell you about this, Kent? When I pulled the dude out of the mud.
Yeah.
God, he was so stuck in there. I've seen him twice since then, and each time he still got all this mud across his truck and everything else. I'm thinking, yeah. I got you out of that, punk. What's up?
I did that.
Now, SP, you've got a bunch of stuff in here for your weekly recap. You got prom. That's insane. Mother's Day. Like dance team tryouts. What is going on in your life right now?
It's been a crazy month. It's just been a crazy week, actually. So, yeah, my daughter's 16th birthday. So she's the youngest of three. This is the... You know, the last hurrah of a kid, really, the sweet 16 birthday. So she turned 16 and she got her temps right on her 15 and a half birthday, 6 month waiting period. So she was getting her license on her birthday. Well, that's great. Well, we were in need of a new vehicle. So we had that going on as well. And my son, who's out of state at college, his car's transmission, which was a manual, was having problems. So he took it into the shop and needed a new clutch. Well, I would have done it in my garage, but that's hundreds of miles away. So I had to pay some AMCO station, whatever, where he was to get the transmission. But he was done with the car at that point in time. He's like, no, I'm just going to sell it for $400. So I called up the place and like, put a new clutch and I'll fly down there and I'll get it. I'll drive it back, whatever. And that fixes a problem for me because I need another car. So he actually finds out that the car is fixed. Oh, I was driving home. I want to come see you. So, okay, drives him home. It saves me time. So that was fine. Get him a one-way ticket to fly back. And I'm like, oh, cool. I get a neat little teenage hot rod that I can drive around for a little bit, have a little bit of midlife crisis, whatever. While I'm driving around, I hear this tick. I'm like, oh, that's not good. So, you know, in... Something like that could be the water pump, could be a valve clearance issue. You never know.
It,
so
it could be it could be a 77 Ford Granada about to blow up on 52. Because that's what happened to Kent.
Fair enough. Could be. So I replaced the water pump or replaced the alternator because I had that tested as long as I had the belt off and the diodes were bad. Replaced that. Replaced the belt. I was going to replace the plugs, need new brakes, new shocks, new struts, new everything. But I kept hearing this tick. I thought, well, that's not the water pump. Must need a valve job. But then I thought, you know what? I just want to diagnose this for sure before I start pulling that the top of the engine off. So I took it down to the Toyota dealer. It's a Scion. I took it down to the Toyota dealer. I said, okay, tell me what's wrong. And if it's a valve job, I'll just pay you the $300, whatever, to do it. Because I figured my time is not worth that. It is a semi-major surgery in a car, but it's easily doable. I mean, anybody can do it. It's just going to take you some time. I'm like, I want the car. So he said, oh, yeah, that tick, it's not coming from the top of the engine. It's coming from the bottom of cylinder four. I'm like, oh, crap. So it's some sort of pin that's holding the camshaft of the piston together what that's sheared off. And the mechanic said, oh, yeah, you go ahead. You can drive it. I wouldn't recommend it for, you know, any period of time, but you could go forever with it. But if it fails, it's going to be a catastrophic fail. So I'm like, oh, crap. Why don't I, instead of paying all this money for a new engine, why don't I just shove it in my garage, pull the engine out, and do a complete rebuild? Because it's an extra car anyway. Well, the problem is a 16-year-old turned 16, need a new car. So I had to go out. I had to buy another car. And then it was the big surprise because she didn't know anything about this, right? So the wife was really into, we need to make this into a surprise. So we had this whole day plan, whatever. She goes get her test, and we were like looking at each other at the test. If she doesn't pass, this is not going to go well. Luckily, she passed. So she passed. She got a driver's license. And oh, by the way, the reason that she needs a car is she has a job and needs to get to work. And I was actually taking time off of my work to go drive her around. And that I couldn't sustain that and still work and have any sort of a leave balance, whatever. So
that doesn't make employers happy when you're leaving all the time.
No, it does not at all. They understood why I was doing it. They understood that there was a stop date,
a finite time period.
Yeah, right. So she got the license, and then she, at 16, you can get a checking account. So she went off to get her checking account. While I went to the dealer, got her car, put it in the driveway, ordered a big bow from Amazon, put it on the car. It's like those Christmas commercials when they come out. Oh, hey, I got a new car. Yeah. So that was the kind of thing. So had the new car. I still have to pull the engine out of the Scion to have that, and because I can't sell it in good conscience because I know the engine is bad. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, all this time she's got prom and she had dance team tryouts, which she made captain. So this place was crazy for 10 days. Crazy, and I'm glad it's over with.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to complain about my week like I usually do, but man, like yours was way crazier.
Sounds like a lot of fun, though, in retrospect. I'm sure it wasn't when you're going through it, though.
Amos,
yeah.
Go ahead, SP.
I was just going to say, all the time I got 5 podcasts a week going, too. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah. I have 2 a week, and I can barely sustain those. And I'm getting ready to start a third. I'm bringing one back. I'm bringing one back from Podfade. So I want to get as many interviews done as I can while I have my convalescent leave for my knee. That way I've got several months worth of releases I can put out there and kind of just, you know, I'm trying to really get a good jump start with it. In fact, my first one that I have scheduled is SP himself.
Yeah. Do I know about this?
Maybe.
We'll have to discuss it afterwards.
There's a calendar somewhere with an invite. I don't know.
Sure went to me.
We were talking about Apple stuff earlier, and the geeky thing that I did this week, first of all, I did homework studio. And what I mean by homework studio is my studio became a homework room because my daughters and their friend needed to record a science project and none of their other parents have any kind of setup. So I let them borrow my setup to record it. And I've only had 1 year of Spanish. I'm telling you what, man, it hurt my ears listening back to this, trying to match it up to the slideshow and everything else. Like, it hurt. I recovered. I recovered the week by I went on to the old Apple store on my phone, and I ordered my sister-in-law a watch. So she's actually gonna have. It just arrived today. Actually, she got it from the UPS guy and then brought it in to me. And I'm like, thanks. Because her birthday is not until tomorrow. Yeah. So, tomorrow I'm going to try to sneak in, grab her phone while she's sleeping, and set it up to where when she wakes up, there's just a phone.
She sure as heck doesn't watch this show. So,
no.
And you just happen to have the passcode to her phone and her Apple account.
I do have the Apple account because I set it up for her. And all the adults in the house have all of our fingers on everyone else's phone. So, because we have 6 iPhones in this house, whatever. So all of us have each other's passcode in case we need to get into or anything else. And it's kind of like a built-in trust thing that we have with the kids. Like, we're not hiding anything from them. You can go look at our phone anytime you want and that kind of stuff. So, because we're sure as hell looking at their phones every time.
The kids don't have a fingerprint on my phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They definitely got theirs.
Well, they'd be scarred for life. My wife has it on mine, but my wife has hers on mine, but those are the only two that are on mine. But everybody else can get into anybody else's stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And my girlfriend's got mine, and I've got her. Well, she's got an Android phone.
Yeah.
And she showed me about 700 times, I think, her little squiggly thing. And I think I've been able to get into her phone once. So she could hide anything in her phone from me. Yeah. There's no way I'm going to find her.
But yeah, the ordering it online through the phone is the first time I've ever ordered anything from Apple through their Apple store on the phone. And next day shipping was free. Well, I think I ordered it on Tuesday, and it arrived Thursday morning for free.
Oh, wow.
And no taxes were charged because it was in Anchorage when I bought it, when I actually made the purchase. So when I come out to here at Wasilla, we don't get our 1.3% state sales tax.
Oh, wow. That worked out for you, man.
It did. It really did. You know what else works out for me?
What's that?
Patreon.com/ritual misery.
That's pretty awesome, man. That's where people can go that appreciate our show. They can sign up. They can, how's the saying go? Give a fucking give a buck.
Yeah, yeah.
If our listeners enjoy what they hear every single week, they can give us a little something back, and we do our very best to make it worthwhile for our patrons. What sort of things do we do for our patrons, Amos?
We do our very best to withhold things from other people that aren't our patrons.
that's kind of how it works out. We do extra things, like we interview people like Gloria Young.
Yeah.
We like to record pre-show and post-show and make that available to our patrons.
Yeah.
Dig up things from the past, all sorts of just weird stuff.
If you're a patron and you haven't gone to the treasure chest yet and listened to the alpha episodes, you're missing out on life. Because those are some extremely long, very boring conversations about, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Is my iPad angled correctly? Can you even see me? I don't know.
Cabo says, when we boss, go to Patreon.
So check it out. It's patreon.com/ritual misery.
And it actually works now because I took the vulgar tag off it, so you can actually find it in search. Now, we have a little segment here, and I'll let Kent introduce it, but this is just for you, Mr. SP.
I've been waiting for this.
So are you ready?
You've got 60 seconds. Get your mind right. It's time for Hot Takes on the Ritual Misery Podcast.
All right, SP, you know how this goes. I'm going to give you a topic. You are going to talk about that topic, rant, rave, whatever you want to do, until you hear that record scratch, and then you get your next topic. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, SP. S&P 500, am I right?
Oh, geez. Let me tell you, stocks are just going up right now. It's crazy. But you take the political situation into account, and you never know what you're going to get at any given day.
SP Awards, am I right?
Why not? I'm all for awards, especially the podcast awards, which I'm blocked from right now.
We all surprise plumbers, am I right?
I never want to see a surprise plumber. Sorry, guys.
Serendipitous poppycock, am I right?
Serendipitous anything is how I roll every single day.
The Ritual Misery Podcast, am I right?
You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me, and this has been fun so far. Can't wait for the rest of the show.
So I awesome. Don't know if you noticed the trend on those,
we had a bit of a theme.
Yeah, bit of a theme on there. I don't know what was it, serendipitous poppycock. That's when we literally pulled out of like four Google searches to try to find that one.
We spent about 10 minutes discussing and workshopping that one.
Yeah, it was. We came up with some really good ones, but they were like podcast names. Like that doesn't work. Can't do that. So
right.
Now, the reason we have SP on here, not only because he's pretty cool and does a lot of stuff for the podcasting community, especially in like Reddit. I see his name in there all the time on the podcasting Reddits. You are part of the Gunna Geek Network.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, 21 shows or something like that in this network?
And it's, yeah, 21 and grown. Yeah.
A whole crap load of hobbyist podcasters. Now, that's something that me and Kent have talked about quite a few times. But you're kind of a, like, really all about the hobbyist podcaster.
Yeah, we are. We just podcast like Chris and Nightwing was part of the network when he set it up, myself and Steven, who runs the network. We really just started podcasting for the fun of it. We liked the podcast. We liked the genre. We enjoyed this, the fun, the camaraderie, the community that came out of it. But as I started learning more and more about the business of podcasting, I learned that there is a definite genre of business podcasts, anything from the entrepreneur or services that try to sell their services to podcasters, podcast consultants, different things like Patreon, for instance. If anybody that gives you guys money through your Patreon, they are actually taking a cut of that. So it's not a bad thing, by the way, because they're offering a service to enable them to Patreon or patronage, give you patronage or whatever, to fund your podcast. It's not a bad thing, but they do take a cut of it. So you just have to consider all that. So any advice you get from those areas, whether it's a podcast consultant, whether it's the owner of Blueberry, whether it's the VP of Libsyn, whatever, they're all going to come at it from a slant and a bias and give you that information. Also, they come at it from the standpoint of wanting to earn money. So they're going to give you advice just based on you got to do this to earn money. Whereas we are like sitting back going, I'm just doing this for fun. Why do I have to have an email list? Why do I have to have advertisers on my show? Why, if I have less than 500 downloads on a show, that means I'm a failure, that sort of thing. So we set forth and we saw a bunch of people that were like us, that were just getting into podcasting and just liking what they were doing. And we thought, Stephen and I thought, look, there's techniques and gear and just different things that these guys can do, these newer podcasters can do to make their podcast better, to make it a better experience for the listener. So that we set up Better Podcasting, not only to make our own network better, but to make all hobby podcasts better. And what's a hobby podcaster, right? It's somebody that's generally podcasts for fun or builds a community like you guys have, or they want to teach others something out of the goodness of their hearts. There's people like that in the world. So mainly retired people that have been there and done that and just want to say, hey, look, I've done this and I just want to communicate that with others, or people just do it for a creative outlet. Like some of the radio plays sort of stuff. There's just people that just are doing that to have fun. But in general, it's somebody that has a passion for what they're doing, a passion for their topic. And it's most people are like us. You can see it on the screen if you're watching on Diamond Club right now. It's a home studio. It's in our home offices in a corner in the basement or something like that. And most of the production work is done by the hosts. There's no extra staff. What you see is what you get. So when the podcast audio doesn't come out for 7 days, it's because we're busy with real life. We all have real jobs and that sort of stuff. And there's minimal or no monetization. I've decided not to monetize any of my shows because I'm like, I just don't want to bother my audience with it because I know that what I'm going to get in return is a little bit of appreciation, and I might do that someday. But right now I'm like, I just want to give you guys something. So it's no big deal there. Yeah. There's also just for you guys' edification, in my definition, there's also two other types of podcasters. There's an independent podcaster, which is like us, but they're doing it for money, right? They're trying to sell a service, or they're trying to get advertisers for their show or something like that. And then there's the big procaster. So you're talking about Gimlet Media that does Serial. I think Gimlet does Serial, or NPR, something like that, right? So those are procasters. They're actually big companies that are set up to do podcasting for money. Not necessarily like ESPN Radio, but they do it for money as well. It's a side business for them. So hobby podcasters are a subset of like independent podcasters, but you take away a lot of the pressure on monetization because it's just not there. You're doing it for fun. You're doing it because you have a real job and maybe a little extra income, but you're really just trying to give back, right? So what are some things that, like Amos, if you were going to tell a new podcaster what's one thing that they could do to make their show better, what would you do?
Engage the audience.
Yep. Build your audience, engage your audience, try to get that rapport together, make that connection so they stick around. That's very good. Kent, what would you do?
Yep. That was actually my number one as well. I think know your topic and enjoy talking about your topic. Like, don't just pick like, well, oh, there's not enough Star Trek podcasts. I'm going to have a Star Trek podcast. You better love Star Trek and care about it.
Right. So yeah. Number one is have fun. That's what I've always said for hobby podcasters, have fun. And then the other thing right that follows right by that is create great content. So if you have passion for something, you're going to create great content. You're going to give something to that listener. You're going to make it valuable to them, whether it's entertainment or knowledge about a subject or whatever. And this is something that I always tell podcasts, because once you start a podcast, you're like, I like this so much, I want to do another one. I have found that if you do more than, Amos, this is aimed at you, if you do more than two a week, you're not going to have time to do all the other stuff that goes with the podcast. You're not going to have time to promote. You're not going to have time to engage your audience. You're not going to have time to produce the content like you should. Now, I'm actually lucky where I'm part of a network and I have other co-hosts that step in and do a lot of the work too. That's the only reason I am able to do five podcasts a week. But if I was just on my own, two would be maybe too much. And just concentrate on that one show. So take the show you have and try to make it as good as you can, basically. And another thing that I just want to say is I know back in the day you could start a podcast off your laptop mic or off your chat headset or whatever. And that is okay to come in as a guest like that. But if you're going to do a podcast week to week, get yourself a good microphone. I would highly recommend a dynamic cardioid microphone. And if you need a suggestion on that, you can just hit me up on Twitter at Stargate Pioneer. I'll hook you up.
ATR 2100.
Or the Knox podcast microphone now for $40. It's a little cheaper.
Yeah, I'm
now.
Hearing that's the new hotness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm wondering about the reliability over time with it, but it seems to be a good fit. I did a review on YouTube. If you want to look it up on YouTube, just Google Stargate Pioneer Knox microphone. Knox is spelled KNOX, or I believe Steven set up a hot link. So it's geeks.link/Knox.
If you just Google Stargate Pioneer, it actually comes up in the first page of results. Your Knox review.
Nice. Nice.
See, we research thank on you our very show. Much.
I don't Google myself very often. You know, it's just I'm too busy doing other things. So that side of my life has taken a side chair.
I tend to Google people that are about to come on my show. So
I do too, by the way. It's no big deal. Yeah. It's good to know what you're getting into, because if you have a guest that comes on that's like totally controversial, you better find that out before they're on your show.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's totally cool if they are, but I want to know ahead of time.
There's another thing, stay in budget, right? So don't spend your way into oblivion. You're doing this as a hobby, but expect to pay a little bit of money too, because you're not going to do it for free, not in this day and age. Matter of fact, there is such a business in podcasting right now that there is a divide. It started a couple of years ago. I noticed that, and I've been talking about it on Better Podcasting. It just got worse this year. I mean, the Podcast Awards is an example, but not the only example. You take a look at the Edison Research. You take a look at the Bridge ratings, and they're all focused on advertising. Mm-hmm. And because podcast listenership is up, that means more advertisements want to come in. That means big business is coming in. I'm worried about the day where the RSS 2.0 goes away and something else gets in its place. It'll be like your local cable station back 20 years ago, where anybody could be on there. And now it's like, who cares? Of course, we have YouTube now, but you're not on cable. So there's that.
So where do you draw the line between a hobbyist and a not necessarily a professional, but
an independent?
Yeah, an independent podcaster. Where do you draw that line?
That line would
and
come
I'll give
with...
You, I'll if, give you us as an example. We have a Patreon. We do have a small little thing from a site we actually like, by the way. We're not making a whole lot of money on it, but we are making some scratch. And we do use that to go fly down to South by Southwest and things like that. So where do you draw that line between being a pure hobbyist and going beyond?
That's a great question. Sometimes there isn't, and sometimes there is. I would say that if your mindset is to make money, you're by definition an independent podcaster. I mean, if you go into it like creating an LLC and a business behind it, whatever, you're definitely an independent podcaster. And by the way, if you make money on your podcast, you got to pay taxes on it too. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's just free money out there, like going to a casino winning less than $2,000. Woohoo! I got a little bonus here, or a card night with the guys, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to pay taxes on that, because those entities like Patreon, like Amazon affiliate or whatever, they actually report that income to the IRS because they have to. And so all of a sudden your social security number or your business is on hook for that earnings and you're going to have to pay taxes on it. And that's one of the reasons why I don't do it, is I just don't want to hassle with the taxes on it, which is another step. I might do that eventually. Stargate Pioneer Productions might become a thing eventually. I don't know, but it's not a thing right now. The threshold for that is
$600, by the way. Up to $600 is just free money. But once you hit $600, you have to claim it on your taxes.
There you go.
Yeah, so I'll actually have to claim our Patreon on our taxes this year, which is exciting and dreadful at the same time.
That's right. But if you just want to do it for the passion of it, and if you want to do it just to do it, like I first got into podcasting just to learn how to do it, really. And now I just want to help people to do it. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I might be in the business mentality once I retire and like, okay, this is my second career. I want to own a podcast company, something like that. But right now, it's just for fun. I've got all the gear. And it's just like ham radio, by the way, which Hamvention, I believe, is this weekend. But this is the ham radio of the new age, and it combines a lot of great things. It's great. And it's great for geeks that don't necessarily want to go to the bar and hang out and talk about sports all the time. This is a great avenue for people that just want to create a community where there might not be a community for them. It doesn't have to be geeks. It could be any community out there, whatever. So yeah, hobby podcasting is fun. And if, by the way, if you're listening to this and you want to start your own podcast, go to betterpodcasting.com, listen to the first 6 episodes, and you'll learn the basics about what you need to do to set up a show.
Yep. Absolutely. And the two most recent episodes, you guys did a really good job explaining, about the monetization and, some of the expectations that you should have or should not have, actually, when you start a podcast.
What was the title? Prepare to be Disappointed or something like that?
So impending disappointment. Expectations, Prepare to be Disappointed. Yeah, everybody thinks they could start a podcast. Oh, my gosh, we're going to get 200,000 listeners right away. Well, no, you're not. If you get 200 listeners, you're going to be doing good.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Like, Amos, what would you say is our most popular episode? How many listeners do you think? I'm like, how many downloads do you think we've gotten on our most popular episode?
That would be, actually, if you give me about 10 seconds, I can get the real number for you.
Yeah, 10, I would say it's less 8. Than 200. For less than 200 downloads, I would say, for probably our most popular episode.
Well, and that's another thing, too. Downloads now it's so spread out. So I've got live streams on Spreaker. So that's numbers there. I have both a live stream and a permanent on YouTube. So that's numbers there. And all those numbers aren't counted. And then I've got, there are some entities out there that suck up your RSS feed and people listen from there. It doesn't report back to the original where the file is stored. And I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. I know Google Play Music used to be like that, but they've created an API interface with stuff like Libsyn. So you can, and I think Podbean too. So you can get those downloads. But the Libsyn downloads or the Podbean downloads or whatever downloads, you have to take into account all these other things now too. So it's a lot more disparate and spread out than it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because we live stream, of course, we have an audience that watches us, but they're most likely not going to go out and also download the podcast. So, we try to count those when we can. We've got the YouTube and we've got the, RSS downloads. We've got, like you said, it's spread out all over the place. And it's, sometimes it's very, difficult, I guess, to bring all those numbers in and try to come up with a real number that actually makes any sort of sense. Did you figure out, Amos, what?
Unique downloads is 74 for the Margaret Weiss episode.
And that's the most.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
No, we have several, because that was 74 audio, and then we had that was before we were doing video, and now we'll do like 60 audio and 40 video. So the number's climbing, but as far as like a single instance of whatever, 74 is Margaret Weiss.
Yeah. Okay.
And the numbers are now that I'm tracking them appropriately, the numbers are actually creeping up pretty quick. I like it.
Yeah, and we're not actually keeping track anywhere of our live viewers, are we, Amos?
No, because my dumbass keeps forgetting to go to the site and look at it.
Right, Right. So, yeah, so that's a thing too. So yeah, it's really exciting to see your numbers go up, but it's obviously not that like, oh my gosh, if I don't have 100,000 by August, like that's it, I'm out, you know. That's a silly way to look at it.
The first thing I'll say is don't obsess about your stats, because if you do, that's all you're going to be doing, and you're not going to be worried about creating content for your next show and getting building an audience, building a community. You're not going to be able to do that. The second thing I'll say about downloads is, and people are surprised by this, these numbers are put out by Libsyn, and they put out in their podcast, Libsyn the Feed. Rob Walsh is the vice president of Podcaster Relations, and he aggregates all Libsyn numbers, which if I'm correct remembering, it's about 35,000 shows are hosted by Libsyn actively. Hmm. And so they aggregate all those stats, so it's statistically relevant. So the mean of a podcast is right around, it's not exactly this, but it's right around 200 downloads per episode. So that means 50% of the podcasts out there are getting less than 50 or 200 downloads, and 50% are getting more. Now, if you take a weighted average, which means he chops off like the podcasts that get less than 3 downloads per episode, gets rid of that, gets rid of like the top 0.5% that get millions of downloads, like Hardcore History and WTF with Mark Maron, that sort of stuff. If you take away those outliers, then the average is somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 downloads per episode. So that just gives you some realistic expectations. If you're a business podcast, if you do a lot of promotion, you're going to get more downloads, but you're also going to pay more for them in terms of promotion. If you get the mean, less than 200, well, don't freak out. Keep on doing it. It takes people years to build an audience. So, and you might have to change your content. It might be that your content nobody cares about, but if you're learning the skills, you can change your show, start a new show, and bring that content with you, that ability to produce content, and then you're being better, and then your promotion is better, you're bringing some of your audience with you, that sort of thing. But if you're starting out cold, you're only going to get 10, 12 downloads per podcast, and that was what the realistic expectations. The other episode that you're talking about is you don't have to make money podcasting. A lot of the other podcast consultants out there that do podcasts about podcasting, they just preach, you got to make money, you got to make money, you got to make money. And I was getting kind of sick of hearing that. Not that it's a bad, but that was not where I was at. And I know a lot of other people that wasn't where they were at either. So that's, again, why we started Better Podcasting, is we wanted to be friendly to the non-monetizer podcaster.
Yeah. And that was super aggravating for me when Amos and I were first starting out, and I was just trying to read everything that I could about how to podcast and how this whole thing works. And I would say at least 90% of the places that I went were trying to sell me something, either, buy this subscription to this, and we promise you'll be the greatest podcaster. What, like, dude, shut up. This is not what I'm after.
Yeah,
there's actually some places out there that I would recommend to people that are serious. But if you're not serious, then there's no need for you to spend money to do that. Matter of fact, the next episode is going to be kind of fun too. So we'll just, I'll leave that lie for now. I won't. I'll tease it.
Definitely looking forward. Speaking
of monetization, we do have a small sponsor in this show, geekandgamergear.com. And the reason, so we, I'm gonna be honest, because I like being open and honest. That's what I ask people to do when they're on Undaunted, when I bring that back from Podfade, is to be open and honest. And we're telling everybody, all of our listeners right now know our numbers. That's fine, because we're growing, and I'm not ashamed of it. If we get 70 people listen to our show, that's more people than I know personally. Geek and Gamer Gear, if you go by there, you buy something, use the code RITUALMISERY on checkout, you get 10% off your order, free shipping, and we get 10% back on that order as well. So far, we've made $2.80 from people buying stuff on geekandgamergear.com.
Yeah, so but SP is exactly right. Unless you are just serious and dedicated to making money on podcasting and spend all of your time and effort to monetize and to promote and advertise. There's not really any money in podcasting. Not a lot.
You have to be very successful to do it. So, right. That success, I mean, most of the people that do it full time, and odds are you're going to be in your basement and you're going to be doing it part time.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what I was alluding to. The, Amos and I, you know, I think we put a lot of effort into this show to, you know, try to make it entertaining and good and whatnot. But we also have real life, like you were talking about earlier. And I think Amos and I do fairly well. We make a little bit of scratch, mostly off of the Patreon, that, you know, basically just it helps us buy new gear. Amos talked about going to South by Southwest, which is like a, you know, kind of the Diamond Club Mecca once a year, where we all try to get together and do some live shows and whatnot. And, you know, that's the Patreon helps us do that. And, we're not going to get rich off of this. We're not going to be able to pay our mortgages.
I just want to get our Patreon number up to $50 an episode so that my wife can finally understand that it's not a worthless event.
Yeah.
Like, that's my goal.
That's her perspective. And I just, I don't know. Money is not the reason we do this. It's nice to get that money to, like you said, Amos, to try to, like, offset some of the, you know, maybe the negative feelings that some people might have about it or whatever. But it's definitely
how,
not
it's
why
we buy
I do
t-shirts
it.
For our live show.
But what I really love about it, probably above anything else, and I just thought of this when we were talking, I get to play pretend. I get to pretend that I'm a radio DJ. I get to pretend that you know, I'm a radio host. And I realized, like, just during this show, that's why I enjoy this. I'm pretending. I'm just a big kid, and I get to play make believe once a week with my friends.
I get to make believe that I have friends.
And they make believe right back with you.
Yeah,
they make believe.
Yeah, exactly. This is just a huge tea party. That's all this is. Huge tea party in the backyard.
That's amazing.
Man, there are so many cool things that happened this week. So much cool stuff that came out. Jeez. There's going
to
be a new Dark Crystal.
This is a great week to be a geek, man.
There's going to be a new Dark Crystal.
That I saw that today, and it blew my mind. I cannot wait. SP, are you a Dark Crystal fan?
I think it was maybe one of the first movies that I saw, but I might be stretching on that, but... Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think I went back to try to rewatch, and it just doesn't. The story doesn't hold up that well for what, but the story does. But it, I mean, it's Muppets, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a big Muppet fan, but I'm all in for this because this is not a movie. This is a TV series.
Netflix original 10 episode season that's going to come. I think, was it later this year? I think it's later this year, right? Like this fall.
I seem to remember 2018 in there, but maybe I'm wrong.
It is. Yeah, it's either later this year or it's the first part of next year. But yeah, dude, I am beside myself that this is real because they've been talking for years, probably over a decade now, about coming out with a sequel to the Dark Crystal, and I think they've had like two or three false starts where they actually had a production team together and just didn't happen. And I was like, okay, all right, we're never going to get more Dark Crystal.
So it's a 10 episode series, and it takes place many years before the original movie. So it's a prequel.
Yes. And it's going to have Gelflings in it more than just, Jin and Kira. Was Kira the girl
I think
one? So. Yeah. You know, it's going to, because they were the last two.
But is
it going to
have Fizgig?
Yeah. Well, then, what I was reading was they're coming up with, like, I guess, dozens of new creatures for this series. And that's one of the things that I thought was really cool about Dark Crystal was, you know, there weren't real animals, like earth animals, like all of, like they had a full, you know, fauna and flora that they made up for this world. And none of them resembled anything that you would see on Earth. And, they're coming up with dozens and dozens of new creatures and things for this. And it's going to be, I don't know. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm super excited about this.
Mm-hmm. Star Trek news was pretty big this week as well.
Dude. Yeah. SP, are you a Trekkie at all?
I am. I that was what I did Saturday nights with my dad growing up. We would watch Star Trek, and I was meh over this whole Star Trek Discovery thing until I saw this trailer.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I was like kind of skeptical. I was like, oh god, I love Star Trek. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of over it, I think. Yeah, no, I'm not over it. I watched this first look trailer that CBS put out, and dude, I'm in. I am 100% in. This looks amazing. It takes place, I think, 10 years prior to the original series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely in the original timeline, like the TV series timeline, not the new, like the Chris Pine canon.
Right.
It's in the original canon.
Well, it's all the same canon.
Well, technically, like if you talk the, you know, Spock Prime and all of that, but it's basically like it's almost like an alternate dimension. You know, like Chris Pine versus Bill Shatner. It's like, yes, they're the same character, but it's like a split timeline, basically. And this series is, you know, more, you know, it's a TV show, so it follows all of the other TV show timeline. And this show, not only does it look interesting, but it's absolutely gorgeous. Like, it looks amazing. I don't know. I can't wait.
Amos,
where do you fall? No, go ahead, SB.
I just hope we find out what happens to Archer's dog, Porthos. That's a real concern for me, because in the original Star Trek J.J. Abrams movie, Porthos is something happened. Scotty did something to Porthos, and they never found Porthos. So I want to know what happened to Porthos.
Maybe we'll find out. I don't know. You know, I just thought of something else that's exciting to me about this. The dude that played Dwight in The Office, he is in this series, and he's playing Harry Mudd, which is an original series character, like the con man, right? He was in like, I think two or three, maybe four episodes of the original series. And Dwight is going to play him in this series. And I can't wait to see him.
That's going to be a riot.
Amos, where do you land on this?
This whole see, I've never really been a Trekkie very much. I mean, it's all right. My stepdad used to watch it a lot. But I want to show you something that caught my attention right here.
Okay.
Who is that?
I can't remember the actress's name. She is playing the first officer of the Starship Discovery.
That means she's going to be on screen a lot, right?
Yeah, she is actually the main protagonist.
I'm in.
She's the star of the show.
Just sees her. I'm in. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's no Zoe Saldana, but I'm in.
Right.
Yeah. Right. She's not far behind. She's absolutely gorgeous. And she's like what we get to see in this trailer, like she seems very believable and somebody that I can definitely have empathy with. And just one more thing. I'm really looking forward to the series.
Now, SP, if you wouldn't mind, what the hell is Orville?
So did you guys ever watch Other Space on whatever it was, Yahoo TV or whatever that was? You guys didn't. It was just a comic ripoff of Star Trek or something. It was just a short 10 episode thing. So there was that. And I know you guys have heard of Galaxy Quest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's, I was going to mention that because that's exactly what came to mind when I watched this.
That's the feel you get from this.
Yeah.
So this is a show that's created by Seth MacFarlane, but it's got Adrian Palicki on it. I mean, Mockingbird herself is on this show. So, I mean, I'm all in for that. You were talking about whoever this is. I'm in for Discovery. I'm in this because Adrian Palicki is on it.
Yeah, this looks absolutely hilarious. I had heard something about this. I don't remember if it was on Current Geek or, I don't know, one of the other shows that I listened to. Somebody had mentioned something about it, and I kind of forgot about it. And then when you put this in the notes, like I watched this just prior to going live on the show, and yep, dude, I laughed for 2.5 minutes. This is going to be great. It's going to be good.
I'm down. Now there's some more stuff you got in here, SB, because you brought all kinds of cool shit. Like you did not show up empty handed today.
No, I did not. I'm a podcaster, so I know how to bring the content. And in this particular case, I am a rocket scientist, by the way, literally degreed rocket scientist, astronautical engineer. And I frequent the space forums, and space.com had a great article that just popped out a couple of days ago. And did you guys growing up, did you watch the movie The Day After, or was that Before Your Time.
It didn't sound familiar at all.
It was a CBS depiction of a nuclear war. And after they did that and the after effects of it, it was the scariest thing I'd ever seen up to that point in time. It scared me crapless and was like, okay, we need to make sure that nuclear war never happens again. Well, there was this other show that came out called Damnation Alley, and it had this just souped up truck ATV sort of thing that roamed the nation again in a post-apocalyptic nuclear war. Well, NASA decides to create this rover that's something in between the rover from, or the vehicle from Damnation Alley and probably the Aliens vehicle and the Martian ATV. And it's supposed to go into their summer camp stuff at Kennedy Space Center. This thing just looks monstrous and is so cool. And I want one.
Yeah.
I will trade my Scion for this.
Absolutely looks badass. So two things.
I would trade your Scion for it too.
Yeah, no doubt. It's funny that you mentioned that the two vehicles that it reminds you of, two vehicles actually came to mind for me. So I don't know if you remember this old movie from the 80s. What was it? Space Hunter? I think Space Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone, I think was the name.
That's a hell of a title. That's a good band name right there.
Total B movie, but I absolutely loved it. I had it on VHS, and I think I wore that thing out. I probably watched it 100 times. But it was this, you know, kind of backwater planet, low tech, kind of, well, future tech, but like, you know, poor, low budget, you know.
Kind of like Firefly.
Yeah. Very similar to that. And they had a vehicle that looked like this, sort of. So I think this vehicle looks like a cross between the Space Hunter vehicle and the Batmobile from the Nolan Batmobile.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I was going to say.
The Tumbler.
The Batmobile.
Yes, the Tumbler. Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Looks pretty badass. I just want to know, is there like a separate compartment in the back where you put the kids and you can't hear them while they're bitching?
It looks like it does, actually. I think that's what one of the purposes is, but NASA's not saying.
Right. Because it's alien entrapment, but we know what alien entrapment means. It means those kids are yelling at each other, not at you. One more thing. We did a lot of talking about podcasts tonight. A lot of talking about podcasts, because that's what we do. We love podcasting. The history of podcasts. This, I found pretty interesting, and I'm usually one of those people who's like, oh, so I'll read the stats on the podcasts, but I thought this was pretty damn good. It goes through, it gives a little timeline at the bottom. It's basically a general overview, but if you are podcasting, you should be familiar with the vast majority of this information, because it's just where podcasting came from and how it developed over the time.
Where's Tom Merritt on that timeline?
I don't know.
There is This Week in Tech Twit in July 2005.
Of course, 2005 is also the same year that that BOL came out. That was 2006, I think. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I should learn my podcast history.
There's somebody that we can ask next week.
Yeah, that's true. I just thought that was, and of course we'll have links to all this in the show. What do I do there? There we go. Now it's not broken.
Breaking things.
They're my things. Were you going to say something, Kent?
No, I was waiting for you to talk. If you're not going to talk, I'm just going to keep talking and running my mouth.
No, I transition very well. I work on my transitions. Actually, my mouth is like extremely dry. My fucking water bottle's out. So, now we have another segment, and this goes directly to what you were just saying. It goes like this:
challenge accepted. Doing other things in these streets.
Yo, that's crazy.
This looks like a job for Amos's Balls on the Ritual Misery Podcast.
This week's Amos's Balls update is that Molly Wood, who was supposed to be here last week, will be here next week. We have confirmed. She has put it on her calendar. I've sent her three separate invites. She said we should publicly shame her for not showing up. But yes, Molly Wood.
And having to deal with SP instead.
No, that was last week. So this week, it's all you. But yeah, she will be on next week. If she's not, then we will loudly publicly shame her.
Yes, for sure.
But yeah, she's coming on, and I'm still working on PewDiePie and the Screen Team, and I'm still working on a bunch of people. So,
wow, I bet I can guess who suggested PewDiePie to you. I'm not going to say Fitz's name live, but I bet I can guess that it was him.
It might have been. It might have been. Either way, it's on the list. Harassment has just started, so yeah. But next week will be Molly Wood, and that's going to be awesome. So.
Yep. Looking forward to that. It should be a great show.
You guys are going to have some fun.
Yeah, we did a little meetup at South By with her, like a last minute thing. And we just sat there for an hour shooting the shit about current events, stuff like that. And her sense of humor and the way it wraps into tech and the way it wraps into business is amazing. Definitely an inspiration for anybody who wants to be into journalism, especially in the tech sector.
Yeah, she is. She's fantastic. I don't want to say too much about her. We'll learn all about her next week. But just know that she is absolutely amazing.
I'll be listening in.
Oh yeah, Ibit. I'm waiting to talk to Ibit at Nerdtacular. Is where I'm going to hit Ibit up. Ibit. There we go. If you can hear, my voice is kind of out tonight because I had surgery yesterday. I got all the dry mouth going on from all the drugs they're giving me and everything else, which small price to pay. But sometimes when you have like weird stuff going on in your head, it's because you have a cold. Well, right. We looked back, and SP, you were cold. You had a cold once, and you tried to tell someone about it, about the benefits and detriment of having a cold. So we acquired that, and we brought it onto the show because it's really good advice. I mean, this I think we were like maybe 8 or 10 when you wrote this, but it's really good advice on what's going on with the cold and how to stop it and how to recover from it. So, Kent, if you wouldn't mind, why don't you read this letter here we have and see if it holds up for in SP's eyes.
Yeah, yeah. We're really good at finding things in the trash. And, so found this.
Crack team of investigators.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. You can always tell when you're getting a cold because your helicopter will feel stuffy and you will have a password ache. The first thing to do is take a couple of podcasts, then go into your prom and rest, drink plenty of RSS feed. Sometimes it's fun being sick. Food is brought to you on a rocket scientist so you can eat and watch TV, and your temperature is taken by putting an audience in your content. If your temperature goes over 2 degrees, a doctor should be called. He will thump you on the sector and say, "We need to make sure nuclear war never happened." Then he will ask you what ball you ate the night before and x-ray your stomach. Finally, he will give you passionate advice on how to get well. If you do just what he says, you'll feel amazing in no time at all.
I think it holds up.
I'm very passionate about drinking my RSS feeds.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's what you got to do, though. I mean, that's how you get over it. That's what I'm trying to do right now. But, you know, I'm trying to drink this RSS feed, but it's not out yet. So I'm RSS starved right now. That's what's happening.
Hey, Mitch, you're podcasting the day after. It's a little bit of a podcasting hero complex you got going on, man. That's awesome.
It's too easy to skip out on a podcast. So you got to go. It's one of our goals.
Amos, I'm just glad you decided to wait until after the show to take your meds.
Yeah.
Because I remember the last time you took your meds right before showtime.
Mm. How'd that turn out?
Not so well. I'm sure you don't remember much about it.
Was one of the meds the little blue pill?
No, those aren't the meds for this podcast. It's a Saturday night thing. That's what that is.
I see.
Right. All right. So this week we decided not to do one of these. And instead, we went with 2 years, 2,000 attempts, blood, sweat, broken bones, puke. What's next?
Yeah. SB, did you watch this?
I did. I was inspired, actually. It reminded me of way back in the day when I was learning how to water ski. And I was slaloming. and I would try to cut in and out and try to get the cut really close. Matter of fact, this is actually pretty close, except for I was on the water and he's on stairs with like cement or blacktop or whatever on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So I had the advantage of water, right? But this guy, it was amazing watching the persistence and just to get the shot. That's all he wanted to do. He just wanted to get the shot. In 2 years, about 10 tries a year, so about 20 times that he went out to do this. And I can only imagine the only reason why he went out once a month was because he was so banged up afterwards that he needed to heal before he tried again.
Yeah, there's actually one scene where you can see where he's got road rash on his back where his t-shirt didn't cover from the asphalt. So this guy, it's Christian Flores, and he's a skater, not a very good skater by his own admission, but he's trying to do an impossible off of a seven stair flight of stairs.
I think it's a laser flip, I think is what it is.
It's all the same to me. Whatever button combination that is in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
exactly.
But he keeps going and keeps going, and it shows. I mean, I don't know that they're not repeated, but it shows probably 60 attempts at this one jump.
Oh, it's not repeated. It's different spills every time.
And some of them look really, really bad. At one point, he breaks a rib. That's it right there. And then he bangs his head on the concrete. And like he just keeps going and keeps going. There's the bang.
That's the one thing that I thought about this. He really should have probably wore a helmet. But I know a lot of skaters don't like helmets. So, you know, to each their own. But if you're going to do this and you're not that experienced, I would wear a helmet.
Yeah. So when I was a teenager, I was going to be a pro skater, right? Mm. And so I get up on a skateboard and I could push around, whatever. I was like, all right, I'm going to ollie. I'm going to do a kickflip. I'm going to do all of this cool stuff. I got the board into the air. I landed. The board went one way. I went the other. I hurt myself really, really bad. And I haven't been on a skateboard since.
See, I thought I was talking to Kent, the pro skater.
That dream was a very short-lived one, and I realized that it hurt way too bad, and I wasn't going to do it anymore. This guy's persistence is just insane. Yeah.
I was still trying to do kickflips in Okinawa, so I was like, 24, 25? Out in front of your apartment, trying to do kickflips. I mean, I landed a couple of them. That's like my greatest point of fame, landing the kickflip from, you know, stop to stop, but... Yeah, this story, though, it shows, I mean, he just keeps going. He decided this is something I need to do. I need to accomplish this. I need to beat this task. I need to make this happen. And he did. And, it's pretty awesome. I liked it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a TED Talk, but inspiring nonetheless. If you have a TED Talk or other inspiring video that you would like us to play and comment on, go ahead and shoot that to us on Twitter at Ritual Misery or hit us up on the Patreon. Send us a message there and give us a link of the story. TED Talk or whatever you would like us to talk about. This is the point of the show where every podcaster hates every one of them, whether you're a host or a guest, where we look at you deep in the eyes, SP, and we say, if we are not getting enough of you, where can we get more?
Did notice your Shatner imitation there. It's getting pretty good there, Amos. If people want to hear more about geeky things, they can go to the GunnaGeek.com network. I'm on 5 shows there. Gunna Geek show is a general geekery show, and I do my rocket scientist stuff there every week. I also do a couple of TV podcasts called Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the general Marvel podcast universe. I also do a show called The Starling Tribune on the CW show Arrow. So we talk all about DC stuff over there, and I do a show called Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. That's the weekly Marvel comic drop. I talk about pod-faded shows. I think I can successfully call that pod-faded now, but I think I'm going to start it back up this week, so we'll go from there. And then also, if you're interested in hobby podcasting, Better Podcasting, betterpodcasting.com, but all these shows can be found, and my contact information can be found at the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeek.com.
Very cool. Kent, how about yourself, man?
Yep. Twitter is the best place at @RM_DelNoche. I haven't been so active on there recently. I've got a lot of family stuff going on, getting ready for a kid to graduate from high school. So that's pretty crazy. But I hope to get back on there and be more active again in the near future. So check me out there at @RM_Del Noche. I'm Del Noche just about everywhere else, including on Untappd. So if you're a beer dude like me, check me out there.
Very cool. You can find me at Ethan Kane on Twitter and Ethan Kane pretty much everywhere else, or Ethan Kane 77 if the Ethan Kane was already taken, usually by me because I forgot the password. And I'm gonna throw a quick shout out there that if you're part of Diamond Club or you're part of the Frog Pants community or anything else, and you're not in the Discords, you're missing out, because half of the content on these networks is these amazing people in the Discord. Between those two Discords, great stuff. We got Tuesday night and Friday night, we're doing Jackbox trivia. Once a month, we do a movie night where we rip apart a movie, old classic movie. There's just tons of things going on in the Discord that aren't being broadcast and advertised really well on the network. So DiamondClub.tv, the Muffin CDN, is up and roaring. And, man, there's tons of content, never nothing going on. I know that's a double negative, and I said it on purpose. you can find the show at Ritual Misery on Twitter. You can submit any ideas or reviews of the show. RitualMisery.reddit.com. Cruise on by there and tear it up. If you really feel the need to give an iTunes review, go ahead and hit the 5-star button and knock the show down as hard as you can. In the words, we want 5-star shitty reviews. That's what we're looking for. 5-star shitty reviews. And, of course, there is this right here. Incompetech.com. For Kevin McLeod, amazing dude, got some great music out there, lets us podcasters use it, and we can't thank him enough. So for me, for Kent, and for SP, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.